Very good evening to you, faithful listeners of Life Lessons and faithful listeners of Eagle FM. Welcome. You are tuned into Life Lessons. I just have to repeat that over and over again, right? And it's Saturday, of course. This is a show that keeps you company every Saturday from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. And I've added a slogan to Life Lessons: inspiring the Namibian child one story at a time. Now, whether it's an adult, whether it's a young person, it's a youth, whomsoever, we're here to inspire you. And no doubt, Life Lessons is here to deliver that mandate. Now, tonight we're talking about business and going back to the drawing board. Let's talk about the basics, your all. I think in business, sometimes we get over ahead of ourselves and we aim so high and we want to start up in the sky, when generally the rule is you start small and then you grow big. So that's what we'll be diving into this evening. And of course, I always tell you that I don't have all the knowledge and I don't have all the experts in every topic. Hence why I bring the people that can be able to help us narrate that story better, depending on which field we are looking at. Now, today, as we are looking into this particular field of business, we are joined by a CEO and a founder, of course, of Kasi Socks. And he's right here in studio with me, Andreas, Akumba Andreas. Good evening and welcome to Life Lessons.
Thank you. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, ne? I'm just wondering, I need to find out for real, just how does it feel, you know, to own something and be introduced, like not exaggerating, but being realistic as a founder of a particular something?
So I would like to think that as Africans, we are very fortunate. Africans generally are very much fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So owning something is great. I can't lie. It's great. So it comes with its own burdens.
Yeah.
But if there's one thing that I can say, going to bed, knowing that you own something, something is, you put your energy out in the universe, and due to that, things are moving.
Mm.
It's a great feeling. That's as close as you can come to becoming what God created us to be.
Yeah.
You as a creator. God is a creator. We are made out of His image.
Yeah.
So therefore, we are also creators. So hence, you creating something from scratch and putting it out there in the universe is as close as you can come to emulating what you are created to be.
Yeah, ne?
Yes.
And it's a great feeling. Of course, you said it comes with its burdens, but it's that kind of like, what sense of feeling do you get?
Should I start with the advantages, or would you rather have me go to the disadvantages?
Please start with the advantages.
Okay, so hold on.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. So
the advantages are quite a lot. So I'm a first child. So one of my biggest flexes, as I can say, is when it comes to starting something, it's the example that I get to see for my siblings.
Mm.
So I'm the firstborn, and whenever I go home, my sister, she tells me, how is Kasi Socks thing? She tells me, people were looking for Kasi Socks. So even in Valvest, I have a younger cousin, right?
Yeah.
His younger cousin, he goes to Kwisebmund Secondary School. I have an advert on Kwisebmund Secondary School.
Oh, man.
So till today, he goes around telling everyone that that's my brother right there, that's my cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think those are some of the biggest, that's one of my proudest things, that I get to set a good example for my siblings. That's the first one. Another one is that I could say is that you get to do mistakes. You get to learn a lot. Okay. So when you have found something that is already established, you found processes, you found a culture that was established, you found policies, you found methodologies that were already established by people that you may know or meet or that have already founded this 10, 5, 15, or maybe even 30 years ago. So one of the advantages of when you found something, you get to say, I want it done this way.
Excellent.
This is the culture of what I'm building. This is the methodology at which we use. It will also allow you to continuously expand yourself. So, because when you are given something that's already started, you're not given that much freedom to fully expand it. So when it's your own thing, you get to expand your innovative side of your mind. Then you get to say, okay, let me try this. Would it work? It works, or it doesn't work. You get to innovate a lot.
Yeah.
So those are some of the advantages as well. One of the things also, the lessons that you learn when you, have something or you have established something and you are the last person to have a say, or you are the last person that will actually determine whether the decision, you'll have that final decision to say, will it work or will it not work?
Mm-hmm.
Will I spend how much money on marketing? Will I spend money on developing this new design? Will I spend money on trying to access another town's market?
Mm-hmm.
Yet you having the confidence to take those decisions, you being the last person to take those decisions, it comes with a lot of life's lessons.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with wisdom.
Yeah.
And I think for me to be fortunate to be getting some of these life nuggets at an early age through a business, I'm very fortunate. And I always like to tell people that the business is giving me way more than I'm giving it in terms of life lessons and wisdom.
Yeah,
those are some of the advantages.
Yeah, yeah. and just the highlight of life lessons.
Just overview.
Yeah. Wow, interesting. You did speak something about Avalvis Bay, Kwesabmund. I want to find out, where did this young man actually grow up?
So I have Avalvis Bay running through my veins.
Yeah, okay.
Proudly, I grew up in Avalvis, specifically in Kwesabmund, and to narrow it down, in Tutaleni. For a lot of the years, Tutaleni was considered as one of the poorest side of Avalvis Bay, in the whole of Avalvis.
Yeah.
I literally used to live in the last street of Tutaleni.
Yeah.
So that's where I grew up. It was very, very fun. I can't lie. Just to touch a little bit on my childhood.
Yes, please.
We used to live in Tutaleni, obviously the last street. So I had my friends there from the street. We were so close to the ocean and so close to the dunes, cause we were not uptown. No. We were close to the dunes and close to the ocean. So growing up, we had the privilege of sneaking to the ocean without our folks finding out. And we had the privileges of going to the dunes and trying to make backflips.
Yeah.
So till today, at an early age, I learned how to make backflips. I learned how to swim. I learned how to do a lot of stuff due to the privileges that came with just being on that side of town itself. Definitely.
Yeah.
School at Nara Primary School. From school, my grade 2 day until grade 5. Then I moved to, 2016, I moved to Tutaleni High School for my grade 6.
Okay.
I always get asked, but how did you start grade 6 at high school? So when it was initially established, there was grade 6 until 10. Then the following year, grade 11 and grade 6 was removed. Then the following year, grade 7 was, and it was now a fully complete high school.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was there from grade 6 until grade 12, matriculated there.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm very much well known. We started the school. Yeah, well, I was one of the learners that actually started there throughout that whole journey. Yeah, so
and it's not far from where you're staying.
It's in Tutaleni.
Yeah.
It's literally Tutaleni High School.
Yeah.
So I was very fortunate. All my schools were always very much close to, from my kindergarten to my primary school to my high school. Very, very close to home.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very close to home.
Mm-hmm. Speaking at this point and looking back at Tutaleni now and comparing it to when you were young and with the dire economic situation that you and the other people that lived there were in, how would you compare it back then to now?
I would say now, in terms of, you want to speak me in terms of the kids or just people in general?
I think economically, just how, yeah.
Okay, the development in Avalvis Bay has been quite good over the years. I would rather like to highlight from 2014, 15, 16, 17, it was, you could see the development occurring.
Mm.
But not sure if you know, but due to you have had the cases of what happened with the
economy
and everything.
Wait, is it Tutaleni that is that deals with the fire?
That's a new one. Yeah. So what happened is that people were getting so crowded into Tutaleni and also other areas of town that they decided to just go build their own informal settlements. They just decided.
Yeah.
And eventually the municipality had to listen. They were given a certain space, but they were too crowded. Eventually fires were erupting a lot. It was horrible. I can't even lie.
Mm.
But then that now later became somehow way, in terms of living standard and economics, it's now way below Totalini, because those people were not catered to in any regard. So it's literally known as Otwaloloka, and it's, yeah, it's worse, I tell you. But it was now, I think that's now, in terms of economics, now that area now is the lowest. I think Totalini can rest now. Yeah, but in terms of the economical status of Totalini itself, I was there 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You could see it's a little bit slower. It's a little bit so I can't like I personally I'm not sure with what's going on in values by itself.
Yeah.
But it's not looking good. The whole town, I think I'm speaking on a town basis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. It's not looking good. Mm-hmm. It's not looking good. Yes, something yeah.
Very little progress.
There's yeah, I would rather say it's we're going more backwards than in front.
Mm.
Yeah, and this is just from my personal observation.
Yeah.
You would know this to be true because the amount of tuck shops in the street have increased. The amount of street vendors on the street have increased. The amount of kids using drugs and everything have increased dramatically.
Mm.
So I personally grew up in a time where you used to ride tires, go make backflips, go and play with marbles, go and all these things. But now, based on my observation, when I go back, kids that were plus minus the same age that I was, the activities that they are more engaged in now, and I don't want to talk too much on the youth part, but in terms of it's not looking good. It's not looking good based on the activities that the kids are involved in.
Yeah.
Based on the number of people on the street, I think that goes to show the economical standard of a place. If there is a lot of tuck shops in the street,
yeah.
a lot of street vendors on the street,
mm-hmm.
if this number keeps going up, it just goes to show that the development is not really going as it should be.
Yeah,
it is. It's going. We are but it's
sorry,
it's not great. Yeah, it's
I
not
hear
great.
You. Yeah. Now coming back to what's on the table, Kasi Socks.
Yes.
Man. First, the name Kasi. Why Kasi Socks?
Okay. So
and then we'll get into where Kasi Socks started. How? Where? Socks, not stocks. Socks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what happened. COVID 2020.
Mm-hmm.
My mom were locked in the northern part of Namibia.
Yeah.
I was literally home alone with. With people that lived close to me. In Totalini, we are very close to one another, with neighbors and so forth. I had a Zimbabwean neighbor, right? So I'm out there in COVID, and it's our life is not looking good. My parents are locked in the northern part, finances, and also when it comes to just me having my basic needs now as a child and so forth. It wasn't looking good. So then, but there was a Zimbabwean neighbor, and I had a very good relationship with him. So one day I have a conversation with him, and he says to me that if you really want to start, you know, moving, because I was selling ice cream initially.
Okay.
Then from the ice cream, it wasn't doing so well. Then I had a conversation with him. He was like, How's the ice cream? I'm like, it's not good. And he was like, if you really want to go slightly the level above of what you're doing, come to me.
Mm.
He just said that. Then I think it was a week and a 2 week. Those words were just in my mind. And my ice cream business was just going down. I can't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Samsung Galaxy Trend Plus. I think COVID slightly opened up. It opened slightly. And then I had a friend in my street that I grew up with, Marembo, and I went to Marembo and I'm like, yo, can you buy this phone, man? Marembo was like, how much? I'm like, 200. Marembo was like, I can give you a 150 now. I'm like, okay, give me the 150.
Yeah.
He gives me the 150. We literally do that change right on the spot, and I run to 32P's house, and I'm like, 32P, here's my 150, and I'm here. You said if I'm ready, I should come.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you came. Yeah. I'm like, I'm here. And that's when he was like, okay, what should you get started in? He wanted me to start something small, something that I can grow into, and something that wouldn't cause me a lot of trouble when I'm selling it.
Okay.
We speed bottled, and we brainstormed, and boom, we just say socks. Most people think I started selling socks because I like socks.
Yeah.
Don't get me, I do wear a lot of pairs of socks, but it wasn't initially from the love of Sucks. It was due to economical circumstances.
Yeah, and you had to find one
and
particular
I had to,
item.
And I had to find a way. Yeah. Mm. So I got the socks and we said he ordered for me my first few pairs. I sold them before the sun could set. They arrived like around 1 or 2 p.m. He gave them to me. I went in the street and sold them all and just gave him the whole money.
Mm.
And he was like, yeah. He's like, you're already done. I'm like, already done. He orders again because I had to wait for when he orders because at that time I couldn't pay for my own transport.
Oh.
I was still, you know, playing with less numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just give him everything. And he orders for me again like after a week or two and they come and those ones, I sell them again the same day. I give him the money again and I had to wait for him to order again when he's ordering his own stuff.
Yeah.
And those ones came, they were slightly more, 2 days, sold them. I took, and I just keep giving all the money. And I kept doing this for like, until when my mom came back, I was on this. I come from school. I removed my books from my bag and I put the socks in that same bag.
And
I just go. That was a routine for like 3-4 months straight.
Oh,
I use every day.
And which
Monday,
locations were you targeting?
I initially started in Tutaleni, but then I realized, okay, I sold today. So I can't sell to the same person again tomorrow. So maybe I need to give him like a month.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, let me go try the other location.
Yeah.
And I went to the other location and they were supporting. I'm like, okay, so I can sell at other locations. So I came back. So I'm like, okay, let me try, Namport. Went to Namport. They supported.
Wait, is it, when they're selling so fast, is it because it's cold in Barbers Bay?
The good thing, I'll say it's three things.
Okay.
Now that you ask that question, I'll say it's three things.
Cool.
The first thing I'll say it's because Barbers Bay is a town that is just, I wouldn't say it's as cold, but it's always a little bit more, it's dew. And you know, people usually have their clothes on and so forth. Unlike Windhoek, where you have summer, there we rarely have those summer and spring stuff.
Mm.
It's usually just cold a lot of the time. So that was one of the reasons. Usually it's cold.
Okay.
The second reason I would like to think is because they were very cheap. Because I used to get Chinese pairs and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Teletopi had a way of getting them very cheap.
Uh-huh.
He had a way. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The third thing, I would rather say, it's the humility that I had.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't ashamed to walk up to someone and get it. And mind you, this was a time when I was the head boy at school.
Oh my word.
And
wait. Let's move from that. Let's dwell on that one quickly.
Okay.
The fact that you say, I wasn't ashamed of selling.
No,
right?
I wasn't.
The socks.
Yes.
And on top of that, you were the head boy.
Yeah, I was the head boy
at
school.
I want you to get into that directly.
So,
you know, speak to a business person who has the idea at home, but they are ashamed.
Yeah, so I would say this. Back then, I would say it's also because of Teletopi. I would say he was my first. I would say my second then. I would say he was the first person that I would have considered a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Now that this conversation, you need mentors.
Yes.
He was a mentor, but it wasn't official. But he was mentoring me. I wasn't even aware of it, but he was mentoring me. So with him, he had people working under him as well. So sometimes when I would come drop, when I first sold my first few pairs, and the WPS people are also selling on the street and so forth, I would meet them. And one thing that the Zimbabweans will do is that they will greet you and they will say, Andreas, how are you? And they will say, keep pushing.
Oh.
And they go.
Yeah.
And I would meet every day. I would meet, on a week, I would meet with Teletopi's business associates for about at least 3 times a week. And every time we met, they would always say something. They used to call me Mfana. Mfana is like little brother.
Okay.
Mfana, what do you say? And I would say, I'm trying. And he's like, don't worry. Keep pushing.
Nice.
They would say that to me on the street. You get, so even at some point where my friends were calling me a Zimbabwean, I used to be called a Zimbabwean for a while when I started selling out socks. Cause now I'm getting more support over, I think it was after 2 or 3 years when people were like, okay, but this guy is really not giving up with this socks thing, man.
Yeah.
I think they just accepted, but initially I was slightly ridiculed. I was called a Zimbabwean,
Which is fine, because Zimbabweans are generally very hard working.
Yeah, I was called a Zimbabwean. Mm-hmm. I will even consider it a compliment.
Yeah?
I was called a Zimbabwean. I think in my high school, one of our favorite teachers was transferring to another school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as she was transferring, we took the initiative of like putting a hamper together. I think there was, yeah. So some people were like, okay, what is everyone comfortable in putting in the hamper? And I say, I personally, I can't commit to any stuff. For me, I can just bring a pair of socks.
Yeah.
And I was laughed at.
Oh, man.
I was laughed at. But at the end of the day, I brought my pair of socks. Mm-hmm. People that were saying they would bring big chocolates, they would bring flowers, they didn't bring those things. So when I brought my pair of socks, I remember there was a brother who said, ah, you really brought the piece. And I'm like, yeah, I do this thing. What you think? I do this. This is me.
Yeah, this is
me. This is my business.
Yes.
So long story short, I used to sell on the street, and the humility came from the support that I was getting from the Zimbabweans on the street, from Tadetobi's associates, family, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They used to support me so hard that they used to say, don't worry, keep pushing.
Yeah.
And sometimes I honestly wouldn't sell anything on the street.
Mm.
And sometimes I told people who can pass by my house. Because when the pairs were slightly getting more, I didn't used to sell them out in one day. Sometimes it would take me like a week or 3 days.
Okay.
Or 4 or 5 days.
Uh-huh.
So when I don't go to him in like 3, 4, 5 days, he would come over.
And he's like,
ah, Mfana, how's the business?
What's
the pastor? And I'm like, I'm trying. And he's like, no, man, where have you sold? I know, I tried selling yourself. And how did it go? And he gives me some advice. Try this and this.
Yeah.
Who supported you the most? Try this and this.
Aww.
Cause I was moving from only selling the shorter pairs to moving, I was also now selling the longer pairs where they come slightly to your ankles.
Yeah.
Cause I initially started with the shorter ones.
Yeah.
Then I was moving to the longer ones. Then you will always come, which ones are selling better? And I'm like, Testopia, I'm not sure, but at these places, they buy this one. Here, they buy this one. And you will say, okay, now try to, that's mentorship.
That's mentorship.
What's working? You look at what you have, what's selling.
Mm.
You used to ask me questions. Which people usually buy this? Is it the ladies or the men?
Oh.
Yes. Because
you look at in other words, he wants you to look at your target audience.
Yeah. And these are things that I wasn't doing initially.
For what you're
Target audience. He wants to see, how's your customer looking like?
Mm.
You see, this is your KYs. This is like, you know, your customer. Mm-hmm. KYCs.
Yeah.
These are your KYCs.
Mm-hmm.
So he would ask me, because I used to sell uni socks initially. First, I started with the shorter ones. Then, from the shorter ones, when I started like building up my numbers, cause it was a numbers game. I didn't used to take money to buy a shirt, I was focused.
Wow.
Cause I wanted to make that to be proud. Cause I identified early on that he was taking a chance on me.
Mm.
And whenever I used to come, give him and the wife will talk to me, don't worry, keep pushing. It was a thing of, I wanted to just show him that I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Again. So now, I was moving from the shorter ones, then I moved to the longer ones that come to your higher angles. Then from there, I started now no longer moving from unisex. So I started putting now somewhere pink for the ladies now, somewhere now slightly darker colors, because men don't like too much colors that are, you know. And he would say, after we moved to that, he would say, okay, is it the girls, the pink ones, are they finishing faster or is it the other ones? And I would say, I don't know, because sometimes girls also like these black pairs.
Yeah.
Say, okay, now next time, 70%. We are buying the girls ones, mostly feminine ones. Then 70%, maybe 30% feminine ones, 70% we make it more male type.
Mm.
And we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do this. And we kept changing as I had more money to play with, I started differentiating more. I started not differentiating, but broadening the catalog. I had shorter ones. I had shorter ones for men and ladies. I had longer ones for men and ladies.
I had
longer ones, colorful, and some were simple that you can wear to church as well.
Ah,
and corporate.
Yeah.
Some were more funky, because more happy socks, because the youth liked them with colors.
Yeah, yeah.
I was diversifying the products that I was giving, and I didn't know then that's what exact, but he was just putting this in me.
Mm.
He was saying, okay, but why don't you try doing this one part? Just get 10 pairs. Then we try to see.
Okay.
Then I'll get those pairs, and those ones will sell out fast. So, okay, next time do 50 pairs of this one because this one we noticed they sell out fast. And we keep playing like that. And by the time my parents came back and the lockdown and everything and school resumed, I was getting stock for more than 500 pairs of socks every week. I was having a lot of pairs, and my mom's was also very supportive. And I will try to whoever is listening,
mm-hmm.
and you have a child, you have a brother, you have a sister, you have a friend who's starting out to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Please just, you know, sometimes you don't even need to support. Sometimes just give them a word of encouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom was so supportive, right? So when she came back, she found me doing this socks thing. You know, she really didn't talk about it, but she just used to see me put socks in the bag and go. So one day, I came and I explained to her I'm doing the socks thing. She was like, okay, now keep doing as long as you don't,
interfere
with your school, with your studies.
Yeah.
For her, it was just as long as you are passing at school, I don't have an issue with what you do outside school.
Yeah.
And one day I remember I left like, I think it's about 20 to 30 pairs. I don't know. I was doing something with them in the house and I left them on top of the fridge. I went to school. When I came back from school, I found my mom and her friend sold those pairs.
Oh man.
She was like, no, there was someone here asking, if this is where the boy who sold socks stays. And I was like, yeah, that's my son. And the person was like, can I buy socks?
Yeah.
And
luckily,
I was like,
they were there.
Yeah, and they were there. Like, I don't know how she even saw them, but they were on top of the fridge. And she was like, yeah, they are here. How many pairs do you want? And the person bought pairs. And my mom was like, I wasn't doing anything at the moment. And I was already in the house. And I had my friends over, like, right in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I told them, like, my boy is doing this thing. And they took all those pairs and sold all those. I came from school and the first thing she said to me is that, we sold the socks. I told you. And my friend is there backing it up. And they're telling me the story.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm there trying to remove my blazer. I'm in shock. Because I remember I came from an LRC meeting that day.
Yeah.
So I still had some things that I was processing. And I came, and this is the first thing that my mom says to
yeah.
me. I was so shocked. And her friend is there packing up. They're telling me how they did it. They're telling me the mistake,
you know,
that they did.
You know,
I'm crazy. Yeah, yeah. Imagine. And she was like, this is the money.
Yeah.
I think till today, that's one of my best moments with
yeah.
classes. Of, when I saw my mom really do that,
like a cheerleader.
Yeah, she gave me motivation. She, yeah. she gave me courage. She gave me confidence. She gave me that thing. If my mom approves me doing this, I don't care who you are.
I don't need anybody else.
I don't need anyone else.
Mm.
I don't need anyone else
yeah.
at the moment.
I hear you.
And so I started doing that. So they came back. She found me doing it. And I was initially, when I started selling socks, I thought I'll just sell it until my parents came back and I'll stop. Because that was mostly the financial
yeah,
burden and so
yeah.
forth. I thought I'll maybe relax or something. But it's quite the opposite. When they came back, it actually relieved, like, because I used to sometimes buy food in the house.
Yeah.
Now, she's back, so I don't have to buy all that. She's here now. So now I was like, oh, no, I can focus now and grow my numbers.
But no, it didn't go that way. Huh?
No, I didn't end up stopping. I actually went more. My growth started going way more because at the moment, I was getting so many pairs. I was getting so many because people were starting to know now. And I want to get to a part of the story where the name came in. Let me not jump that question.
No. But before you go, did you finally decide, you and your mom, did you finally decide that, wait, I think a pair of socks should remain in the house? Should somebody actually come knocking and look?
It actually became a thing from that from that instance because people started knowing that I sell socks, and randomly I don't know if this happens in other locations or towns as well, but in my location and my friends,
mm-hmm.
your school socks will disappear.
Mm.
Your school socks will disappear.
Yeah.
I had that same issue. And it's only when I started selling socks when I was like, I can solve my own problem now. But your school socks will occasionally disappear.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. It's not all the pairs that will, it's only one pair. No, it's only like one sock of the pair. It will just disappear for some infinite reason. You will just look like one sock of that pair. So sometimes the kids were like, okay, I don't have time to go to pair stores now, but I need socks today.
Ah.
And that's how they came, Mama. They usually came.
Okay.
Sometimes it's parents, sometimes just friends and like that, because mm-hmm. word started going out. And sometimes we'll just come by the house.
Yeah.
My old ice cream customers, sometimes they want socks. They'll come by the house.
Well, how are you selling ice cream in the
customer? it's completely different from food to clothing. Yeah. How the name started, and I'll actually start talking about some stuff which, will talk to anyone who wants to actually start a business. When I was now selling socks so much on the street, and I moved to other locations now to sell socks, I remember there was a guy who asked me, wait, do you have an Instagram page?
Mm.
And I said, no, I mean, I'm just selling socks. I don't know, no page.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I went, bah, 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 bah. Same week, I think that same week someone asked, can you just give me your number so I can just call you? Because I meet them randomly. Because, I mean, I was just walking around selling socks.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andreas. Mm. I'm selling socks for $10. I have all the designs that you need.
Mm.
Can you please support me? And someone would say, I don't have money now, but okay. Okay, will you pass by here again tomorrow?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think so, because people in this street, five of them already bought. I don't want us. I need to give them at least a month before I come here again.
Let's talk about that after.
Ne? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. So the name now. So someone suggested, like, okay, can you give me your number? What? And I'm like, okay, I'll give you my number. Okay. Then it got to a point where I'm giving out my number so much.
Yeah.
And I'll take out my phone, and it was slightly risky because, okay, just slightly risky, and I'll write the name, and I'll write the name. And someone once said, it was the printing shop, a guy who supported me in the printing shop, was like, just make business cards, bro, then you just give them out.
Mm.
And I'm like, business cards. I went home. I skipped slightly of the story. So in my,
I just wanted to talk about, not burdening one customer at the time.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like it's,
you want me to touch?
I want us to touch on that okay. After you tell the story.
Okay. I'll come there. I wanted to go how the name came to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that.
So when I started now being 4, 5, 6 months in, I started actually like, you know, my numbers came from 150 to 300, 300 to 400, 400 to 500, to 600, to 800. Cause I didn't usually spend on other things. I didn't used to consume, I didn't do other things.
Yeah.
So I didn't have anything to spend my money on apart from my groceries at home.
Mm-hmm.
So my numbers were just doubling and going and going and going and going. And one day Taretopi's wife said, since you sold your phone to start this business, it's about time you take money out of this business to buy you a phone. You can't keep living like this.
Somebody had to tell you that.
I'm telling you.
And, you're very faithful to your own business, eh?
Yeah. And yeah. I laughed and everything. And we made it a joke. And yeah. I was like, no, she's right. You need to get your phone back now. Because, young man, you don't have a phone.
How are people going to reach you?
How are people going to call you? And eventually, I think I was around, I had about 2,000 in the savings, and the business itself, it was operating on slightly 1.5 to 2,000.
And all this started 150.
All started with 150.
Hmm.
It's so surreal because people don't understand, because, and I try to say, when I first got my first badge, all the money that I got, I gave it to the top, and I said, I order more. And those badges that came, I kept doing this, because the main thing, I wanted to show him that I can do it. Cause, There was slightly an energy of, can this boy really, is he focused? Mm-hmm. You know, these Namibians are not serious with business.
Yeah. So I wonder, and I think there's a part that he said to you about Namibians being lazy.
Yeah, we are not, they are very lazy. Because in that, the initial conversation was like, Namibians are lazy. You guys don't like taking chances. Mm-hmm. Your economy is good. Your government is trying. Mm-hmm. But you guys, you don't want to just get that energy to push. You know, you don't wanna go far.
Yeah.
And you are saying that my people have to leave Zim to go and try to search for a better lifestyle. And we come to countries like yours and your people are relaxed.
Hmm.
You get? So from that initial conversation and now how he gave me this chance to use his link to try to get me cheaper socks, he's paying for me transportations and everything. I wanted to show him that you took a chance on someone who's serious.
Yeah.
Till today, I'm still having that same drive that you took a chance on someone who's serious. I didn't want to destroy that with him.
Yeah.
You
want to disappoint
him. Yeah. So every money that I used to get, I just used to give him. I trusted him that much.
Mm.
From the 150 to 300, I just gave him. From the 300 to the 500, I just gave him.
Mm.
When I got to 1,000, and it just kept going like this. And it's not like it's a week or, this used to go for like 6 months. I would do this. I think I got my phone on the 8th or 9th month after I started doing socks. I started getting slightly into the 5,000s late, like way later, cause, I was just playing this doubles game and just trying to keep growing.
And then this time now you had your bank account or you had it before?
That time still I didn't have a bank account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At what point did you open your bank account?
I opened my bank account when Tatetopi said, I can't keep keeping your money. Of course, guys, let me not cut the story, but
okay, cool.
He really put me on. He was a mentor. Let me know, guys. He was the perfect mentor for me at that time.
And even when we talk about not burdening a customer later on,
yeah.
I also want us to touch on the importance of a mentor and good qualities that you can point out mentor.
We'll come there.
Cool.
So now that Tatetopi, eventually, he was my bank. I used to keep my money and everything.
Yeah.
Tatetopi's wife said, young man, you need to buy your phone back. And that's where the conversation started. And then I eventually bought a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think I bought an A10 at the moment.
Which cost you around about how much?
2,000. Just coming 2,000.
Okay.
Tatetopi helped me get that phone as well. 2,000, brand new, through his ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was new.
He's a businessman too.
He is a man. Yeah, he is a big entrepreneur. He's a big entrepreneur. Let me not lie.
Yeah, yeah.
So now someone said, can you make business? Just make business cards. I went home, Google business case, business card. I think what application was that at the moment? Was it Canva? I think it was Canva. It was not Canva. It was Photoshop, the mobile version of Photoshop.
Mm.
I quickly did like a business design there, business card design, went to a local printing shop, printed like 12 business cards out.
Yeah.
So I had 12 business cards now that only had, they only had, my number. No name, nothing. just hit Andreas, my number. So eventually I give the business, no name. So I give the business card out and someone says, what's your business name? And I'm like, guys, I just want to sell socks, guys. What is all these things you're asking
me?
Do you want the socks or not? So eventually I go back and till today I have a younger cousin. Who wants to, he wants the credit of him coming up with the name. Cause when I was thinking about the name, he was there. So now I came back that day and I'm like, people want a name now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think I must start now. So a name. And I won't even mention the names that I had, guys, but
give us the names that you had.
I had so many different names.
Yeah.
Cause I think I had three names before this one. They were not good. The first name was like Zebra Socks.
Okay.
I said Zebra Socks. I wanted to be called, not Cassie, but like Zebra Socks.
Uh-huh.
And my initial intent was like a zebra with a black and white, you know, camouflages.
Yeah.
I liked zebras and it sounded cool. I don't know. It sounded good for me then.
Okay.
It was the first thing that came.
Yeah.
And zebra socks, zebra socks. I was like, it's not working. I even like the zebra logo that I did on my phone there. It wasn't working. Yeah. It wasn't working. Then I had another name. It wasn't working. Then I went on YouTube and I searched again. How to construct a good business name.
Yeah.
And I remember that video. It said something about it had to be, to create a good brand name, it needs to be something that it can easily be screamed. It needs to be something that could easily be remembered, and it needs something to be relatable.
Oh, nice.
That's why you have brand names like Nike, Puma,
easy,
Adidas,
uh-huh.
KFC.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have all these brands. Google, it needs to be easy to scream.
Eagle FM.
Eagle. Eagle.
Yeah.
You know, so it needs to be, so I was like, okay, it needs to be relatable, easy to scream, and easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, yeah, okay, let's see. Okay, let's go. And I remember whenever I used to go to town or Naravel, a location, they will always say, where are you guys from? And we are from Kwisep, but usually they will say, we just say, wow, this is funny, cuz. If I say, I'm from the location, and the location is Kwisep Moon.
Yeah.
If I'm in town, I say, from which area? You know, I guess funny, cuz. It's Afrikaans. We usually speak Afrikaans. So, Kasi, it comes from the word Lokasi. Lokasi is now location in Afrikaans, slowly referring to the hood side of town.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, Kasi. Okay, I like that. When I was coming up with this name, my little cousin was in the room. Till today, he keeps saying, don't remember who gave you that name. Don't remember.
Wait, he didn't give you the name, but you just, came up with it. He was just there.
Yeah, he was just there. And he keeps saying, don't forget, I was there. I was there. Remember, it was us. It was us. Yeah. Till today.
Yeah, so you must credit
I must eventually
please,
put him
on. The honor.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. Shout out to Lucas. So now, that's what's happening. The name Kasi, it was also written differently because initially in Afrikaans it's K-A-S-I-E, Kasi. Mm. With Afrikaans at the end there used to be I-E for it to be Kasi.
Okay.
Then eventually I saw it wasn't appealing to the human eye and I removed the E and I said, okay, now it's just four letters.
Yeah.
Kasi.
Yeah.
You know, then we end here, guys. Kasi.
Yeah.
And I ran with it. And eventually my business card now had Kasi and then Andreas and then my number.
Okay.
So that's how eventually I started coming up with these things. But without going forward, I wanted to highlight the point of listen to people.
Mm.
I started doing the business card because someone asked. I wasn't too, no, I don't want, no, I, someone said, to just do a business card, you can't just keep always just writing your number on randomly. What if you don't have a pen or don't have a paper?
True.
And you just give me a business card. And that sounded very, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have a name? I went and I tried it. You have an Instagram. I eventually went creating an Instagram. Did you do this? Make shirts. I'm like, guys, I'm selling socks. What shirts for what now? Shirts. So eventually when I did the Instagram page and the business cards, now they wanted shirts written Kasi. And I'm like, for what, guys? I'm just selling socks. You know.
Imagine.
So at school, I was also now starting to get known. Cause eventually, it's at that same time when I noticed that I needed assistance selling the socks. So I started getting people to work with and I'll say, okay, if you sell this, how many pairs? I'll give you this. I created something called the Wise Package. The Wise Package. And that was after I think that was after almost two years. I think it was a year and a half plus that I thought of, Sister Etopi, his people working for him. Maybe I also can have people working for me. You see, cause he's my role model now at this point. Now I'm also trying to make big moves like him.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm also get people to that work with me so that we can keep growing this business because he has people working with him, growing his business. And this was after now, when I started making good money, he eventually said, so now you're getting to understand business now.
Yeah.
You need to create an account.
Mm.
I can't keep being your bank. Mm-hmm. Now you need to go, you know. And I created the account, and slowly but surely, he gave me people that can drop the delivering companies.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me the connections that usually where I can buy the socks. He eventually gave me the whole chain from how to source, from how to get a runner, and how to tip a runner, how to treat people, how to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me how to engage with this chain that he's giving me, so that it can be businessly sustainable for everyone in the chain.
Where exactly was he ordering? Was it here in Namibia or
It depends, because I was selling them different stuff. So some used to get it from SA, some used to get from Angola. Okay.
He would do all that.
Wow. He gave me the whole line from the person who I want to out the which accounts to pay them. Some which this ones I should pay cash. This one I should maybe just pay through ShopRite. He gave me everything. And by the time he said I should open my account, he started giving me all this, and slowly but surely, I started becoming independent.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I was this guy who has about 1,000 pairs under his bed, who had shirts, who had two guys who signed up on a WISE package, because these two guys also want extra money.
Mm.
So I convinced one or two people to come. Yo, I will give you this share. Just come. Come assist me. Because at this point, it would be good to have some company working with on the street as well. Because I used to sell on the street.
Yeah.
So it's not only I will have people to work with also now.
Because
now I was going independent. So I was like, okay, now I just want to be like 32. Now I need also people to work with and everything and everything. So I developed something called the WISE package. The WISE package, it's a package that had about 10 to 15 pairs.
Mm-hmm.
If you sell those 10 to 15 pairs, you'll get a certain percentage. And I'll get kids, and they'll come from Tutaleni. I worked with so many kids from, I started initially working with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends eventually said they're too cool for it. And
they're too cool for it.
Yeah. So this is another lesson, guys. If you're trying to start a business or get into anything else, the people that you are usually with, you guys are together because you have common interest and common goals.
Yeah.
You get? So now when you start pursuing into something new, you can't always expect them to all of a sudden align with what you want to align them with. Initially, I didn't understand it. I was like, they don't want to support me. It's fine. I was, you know, but now that I'm older, and the more that I grew, I then understood that the fact that I'm talking to you is because we are both in the same class. We are both in the same grade. We both, do not consume. We both do not go at these places.
Yeah.
We both go for soccer. We have common goals.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, this guy is now doing music. I can't be in the studio because my friend is doing music.
Yeah.
What am I doing there? You know, that's not something maybe that I want to go into.
Mm.
And I'm not willing to compromise myself to be with you in a studio.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't go with you, man. Just do you, you know. So that's what they did eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I didn't see it that way. But when I was going this route, I eventually had to start moving with people that had the common interest as I did.
Yeah.
Because I only come from school, drop my bag and go sell socks every day, Monday to Sunday.
Sure.
I'll do this. Yeah. So I didn't have time for a lot of other things with my friends anymore.
Mm.
So I needed to start staying with people that were having interest in that space. I started having more, better relation with printing shop owners, because that's how I print my business cards.
Yeah.
That's also where I would print my shirts. I started having better relationship with people that worked at ShopRite, because I used to send sometimes money through ShopRite.
Yeah.
I started having good relationship with a lot of street vendors, because with so many conversations.
You're speaking the same language.
Yeah, we're speaking the same. Until today, there's street vendors in Valves by that we still have that respect till today.
Mm.
I would even go to the bank and I would walk even a good kilometer to go just see a guy that I haven't seen, because I used to work with him. I had street vendors guys that I used to sell on the street, right? And I would give them my pairs. And I was like, if people can buy tomatoes from you and they want these pairs, let them buy the pair, mm-hmm. and you can get how much. I used to do this for like with a guy for a whole year. I had this agreement with a guy, and it wasn't like a joke. And me and this guy became friends, like friends.
Yeah.
And I became more friends with people in that space. And slowly but surely, me and my older friends, we were still cool, but we weren't really spending as much time.
Mm.
So a huge lesson to everyone out there. If you try to do something and the people around you are really not as supportive, don't be too selfish it's not personal. You just need to go find the crowd that is a similar interest that you have. Okay, so yeah. So moving on, something about what did I miss?
Don't worry, we still have a lot more to cover.
Okay,
but with that being said, let's take a commercial break, but we'll be back shortly to continue with Kasi Sock's story. Right, stay tuned right here on Life Lessons.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Lazy. Get up, you're good for nothing, lazy.
Morning, beautiful.
Straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you could get the gold.
taking all the records he thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're in it in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna
just be politicians, be preachers, yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers. Be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
Welcome back. Like I said, you are tuned into Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. And of course, this is where we deliver the news that's supposed to make us thrive and also challenge us from our comfortability. Yeah. Okay. And I said news, but yeah, this is more also like news, but informal news. Nonetheless, we are joined in studio by Akumba Andreas. And I said he is the founder and the CEO of Kasi Socks. Yeah. And you know, we're looking at a business that was started from very little, business that was started from scratch, your all. And like I did say from the very beginning of this conversation today, is that I know sometimes when it comes to business, we always want to get way ahead of ourselves. It's good, but actually not good. At the end of the day, it does kill the business. Nonetheless, I'm yours, Ndafa, happy as usual, and I shall be keeping your company up until 2100 hours. Now, Andreas, back to you.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You know, you mentioned quite some really good points in the very beginning of our conversation. Two of them I would want to touch on. First, the importance of not burdening or overloading one customer with your product, regardless of what product. And from what I can tell from your story, you're so careful and well calculated not to make that mistake. Highlight why you ensure that you don't burden one customer with a product.
So that's a thank you for the question, actually. So that's a very good question. And I'll explain it like this.
Yeah.
A customer is, at the end of the day, it's just a person. You know, this word's customer. We will talk about a customer. Sometimes this word makes them forget that it's a person.
Mm-hmm.
So in as much as it's a person, the person is living their life. Everyone has their problems,
mm-hmm.
you know. Everyone has their problems. They are going through life, their family, their goals, ambitions, and everything like that. Now, you come to the person. He says, "No, I'm selling socks. It's how much? Okay." He buys a pair today, Monday.
Yeah.
What is the lifespan of your product? That's the first question that you should ask yourself. It's not necessarily burdening the. First, you should try to understand what is the lifespan of your product.
Yeah.
If you are selling ice cream, ice cream will finish now.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're selling a broom, it will most likely take more than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum 6 months. Because even though it breaks, it's minimum 6 months unless it breaks or it gets lost or something.
Mm-hmm.
But for as long as they are using that broom correctly, it might just go more than 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, you should know the lifespan of your customer.
Mm.
Then after you acknowledge that, okay, my product's lifespan is a month or 2 months or 3 months.
Yeah.
Then you now try to say, let me try to swing back at this same customer
mm-hmm.
after 3 months. Because a person will get irritated when they see you once today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they buy the socks from you. I've noticed this personally.
Mm-hmm.
They buy the socks from you. And they supported you and everything. Now tomorrow they're seeing you again. It's like, I just bought socks yesterday. Why are you here? The socks, I still have them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, socks get lost, but it was yesterday.
Exactly.
Oh, are you planning something that they get lost by themselves or whatever? Or maybe your socks get lost overnight.
Or you can steal them.
Yeah. So I also then figured that. That's one of the major reasons that I started selling it other locations in Valdez within Quisep. It's because I then realized that, my product's lifespan is about minimum 2 weeks. That's for people who don't like washing their pairs.
Mm.
And my pairs were fairly cheap. So that's it. Most people would wear them, they wash them once or twice, but most people didn't like washing pairs. So that's it. They buy and wash them twice and if they see me, they want a new pair.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how they were fairly cheap. The quality wasn't as strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew their lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the shorter ones' lifespan. I knew the longer ones' lifespans and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So then after you determine your product's lifespan, then you try to come by at those intervals to the same customer. Cause if you don't, you might irritate someone. Cause even if you ask yourself, if I buy a house now,
mm-hmm.
from you, and you bought a house, you're currently living in the house,
yeah,
and then the salesman who bought you is coming tomorrow. Listen, I just got a new house, it's very cheaper than the one that you bought yesterday. It's very good, it's painted this and this, and you know, I just bought this house last month. I can't be buying a new house every month or every year.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You get so now it's just you understanding that the customer is also a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be showing up too much times, cause they will start thinking that, especially on the street, they'll start thinking it's like your socks disappear at night, or what's going on here? You know, even in the corporate space, you hardly try to
go to your customer with the same product without letting the minimum time lifespan of the product go by.
Yeah.
So what I then learned on top of that and how to mitigate that is that you try to find some, they call it entry level products.
Mm-hmm.
Some define it products that just come with the main product. I will explain this using, let me say, a car.
Yeah.
Should I use a car? I'll use a car. So let me know. A car is not a good example. Let me mm-hmm. use a house.
Yeah.
Let me use a house, for example. So you come to, the person is not interested in buying a house now,
mm-hmm.
but they might want to buy a bed, you know?
Yeah.
So you might say a bed is an entry level product to that person right in front of you right now. So would you like to buy a bed? It's like, yeah, no, a bed will be fine. Okay, a bed, good. Then tomorrow, would you like to buy a mattress?
Okay.
Not a bed.
Yeah.
A mattress. So he already has a bed with maybe, the mattress was maybe not so good.
Yeah.
Based on, you get.
Yeah.
So say, would you like a mattress? You know, let me take this example back. Let me say, you come to the customer and say, I'm selling pillow covers.
Okay.
How much are pillow covers? No, pillow covers, you can get 4 for $100.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That person buying pillow covers, but you initially sell beds and, you know, whatever comes with a bed.
Yeah.
But now you are going in, it's an entry level product. You want to take your customer onto the journey to buying a bed.
Uh-huh.
But now you come in with something slightly cheaper.
Okay.
You know, because everyone has pillows and, you know, it's good to get a fresh new pair of pillow covers once. Yeah, so they buy pillow covers. And pillow covers, and maybe one day you invite them for coffee. And you know what? I also saw blankets. Would you like new blankets?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Blankets. Then later on, eventually, I also sell beds. So you can also just change that new bed and you'll have new pillow covers, new bed sheets, and a new bed. But your bed is the main core product that your company is offering. You get? So what I also started doing now, and what I started doing at the time is that, I realized socks was the core of what I wanted to sell.
Yeah.
You get socks. But then, people started wanting to buy, they wanted to just support. And sometimes they already bought like 5 pairs, but they want to support me because they see, and I started making stickers, like car disc stickers. You know, the disc that holds your, the license thing, the registration in the car, round thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started printing stickers, casual socks with those. So my teachers at school eventually grabbed onto the idea that I do this socks thing, and I go to school every day, and all those teachers bought socks.
Mm.
I mean, one bought today, one bought tomorrow, but eventually I sold to everyone, to all my teachers at school. They all have socks.
Yeah.
And the lifespan is minimum at least a month.
Mm-hmm.
But they still want to support.
Yeah.
And that's why I came with a license disc thing, the stickers.
Yeah.
And to buy the stickers, they have cars. Okay. And even if someone doesn't want to buy socks now, they will eventually want that disc to paste that thing on. So they'll buy a sticker.
Yeah.
So I started selling to taxi drivers as well. And that thing will have a sticker, would have my name. So I also used to do billboards around, like I will have walls written. So taxi drivers were also like, okay, yeah, we see this thing. Oh, it's you. And they'll buy the stickers. So there was even a month where I sold more stickers than socks because they were slightly cheaper.
Uh-huh.
And people who had cars didn't like buying, so sometimes they would buy three. They would buy, you know, because it's an entry level product.
Mm.
I want to sell you socks, but you can start with the stickers because you already have a pair that you just bought yesterday, or you already bought pairs now. Here's a disc thing.
Yeah.
And eventually, when it moved from the discs to the socks, the person already bought the socks. It doesn't have a car. Doesn't have that sticker thing. Sometimes they will just buy stickers to put on the fridge or something.
Mm.
But eventually someone will say, okay, yeah, let me get the shirt. I'll get the shirt written Kasi.
Yeah.
You see? So if you diversify your catalog in this way,
mm-hmm.
you get to sell to the same person every day. That's how you come there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how entrepreneurship. And that's what Tadetopi taught me.
Yeah.
That's what he taught me.
Mm-hmm.
You get to diversify your
your catalog and the services or product that you offer to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get to sell to the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Just in and out. That's what MTC does. And all the companies do this.
Yeah.
That's what all these companies are doing. The car companies, the retail companies, everything. If you really, really go to the marketing department or the business development department of a lot of big corporate companies, you would find that they have a core.
They offer more than one product.
Yeah, they offer more than one product, but they have a core product.
Yeah. You know what? I get the idea now.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example of how I really get it. For instance, this is Eagle FM.
True.
It's a radio station.
Yes.
But then again, we also have a complimentary newspaper called The Villager
E-paper, imagine,
and which is out every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And guess what? We write stories, social stories, economical stories in there, and people can also still advertise.
Imagine.
Then on top of that, we have Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook.
You see?
Know, still educating the people, news related stuff, what's happening in the society, you know, to reach another audience who maybe, maybe you listen to the radio only once in a day, but you can still be updated via Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn.
A
yeah, it's I get it now.
When you're funneling, you eventually bringing the customer to the product that you want them to buy.
Yeah.
And I would want to mention a lot, but I don't want to give them free advertising now on your platform.
Sure,
but
don't.
It's really, it's a funnel.
Yeah.
You get to take your customer through a journey where instead of getting irritated by you, they will actually be like, okay, what do you have today?
Or,
it's a good thing you passed by. One of your products' lifespan is over. So you would have a month, your sticker's lifespan is probably, let me say, rough example, is 10 days. Your socks lifespan is a month. Your t-shirt's lifespan is 3 months. So I pass by there, the socks lifespan is over. So he gets a new pair. My sticker, I got a new disc, I need a new sticker. Or my child and I, we want shit. That's how you get to sell to the same customer without burdening them. Cause the main question is, how do you not burden your customer?
Mm-hmm.
And your customer is a human being, and human beings get irritated.
And get tired of the same thing.
And the same thing.
Yeah. And to top it off, we have an Imba app. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I actually think about it. And this one caters for, hymns.
Okay.
Whether it's in Rukwangari, Damara, Namara,
okay.
Herero,
okay.
Shiwambo, English, you know.
Okay.
So you kind of like, you want to target different audience and different people.
That's good.
Like maybe I'm not into the radio, but I'm more on Facebook.
Exactly.
Maybe I'm more into reading stories.
It's a funnel. It's a
funnel.
And it's crazy. These things weren't making sense to the grade 11, grade 10, grade 12 boy that was selling socks.
Yeah.
I was just doing things based on Tatutopi's guidance, instinct and grace. I was just doing things.
Yeah.
But now, that I came to, you know, varsity, and I'm also maturing, in business, and I'm also getting more, I'm finding the crowd.
Mm.
You remember what I said about friends and so?
Yeah.
So now I'm getting more people that are in the space of entrepreneurship. The conversations are there. They send you these videos of a guy who made sense. They invite you to these talks. They send you something. These conversations, I'm not around that crowd.
Yeah.
So eventually I go, oh wow, that I was doing this the whole time. I wasn't aware.
Yeah, that
now
this
I can
is what
do
it,
it
is.
More intentionally.
Exactly.
You get? Now I am moving with intention.
Mm.
You get, and
because you have knowledge.
Because now I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm aware now. So it's a funnel. And I, everyone who's listening to this, I dare you to take any three companies that you know or you support so much, and you just carefully analyze them. You'd find that they have one product or service that they really want to sell to you. The rest are funnels. They are funnels. So what you want to do as a business is you want to create a lot of these funnels so that you can bring your customer to a point where they buy your core product. But when they're not buying your core product, they are still engaging with your business. So your cash flow is running.
Mm.
Yeah, before, let me not go.
You're a real businessman. You're a real businessman, I'm telling
I'm trying,
you. But
I'm
you know
trying.
What's popping in my mind?
Yes.
I'm wondering, how did you do in business studies? And what are you studying now?
I am cybersecurity by profession. I studied cybersecurity.
Okay.
Yeah, currently, I studied that from advice that I got from my aunt and uncle when I finished my matric.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally didn't have a goal for this varsity stuff.
Okay.
It was more of my mom's.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's was really, they go to school, get serious and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted me to be educated so I can reason like the way I'm reasoning now.
Yeah, of course.
She wanted me to be taught how to reason critically, mm-hmm. and how to think and how to move in the world that we are going into.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I personally, I was just gravitating towards the business things.
Yeah.
You know, it was more interesting to me. It was entrepreneurship and sports. I also used to do sports. I did sports, also did very well in sports.
Yeah.
But the business thing, it was coming, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was coming. It was almost like it was coming, not naturally, but it just came.
I think naturally.
Yeah, it was just coming to me, you know.
Yeah.
And we were just, and I was just taking it in, and it was fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was stressing me, and I liked it. And I was losing money,
yeah.
And I was making money,
yeah.
And I was meeting people,
yeah.
And I was losing people,
yeah.
And I was going places, and I stayed out of a lot of places because now I'm, this world was just taking me in, and I was just like, what next? What next?
Yeah.
What next? So eventually I did, I matriculated, passed fairly great. So I didn't know what to study at all. I didn't even know where to study.
Mm-mm.
I didn't even know the requirements for what. I was just my friend, Freddie Samuel was actually the one who even did those registration things. And those, when you're in grade 12 and you need to apply, what? He's the one who did those. I was just out there selling socks and doing my thing. He was like, did you apply? And I'm like, no. It's like, what do you want to do? I was like, I don't know, just apply anything.
For me?
For me.
Wait, they applied for you?
Because I was like, what are you applying for? It's like, I don't know, but I'm applying for this and this. And I'm like, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know, just put something that sounds nice, something.
Oh my goodness.
But not anything that it does with math. I don't like numbers too much like this. Yeah, but.
I only like them when they are in the middle.
If there's a dollar sign in front, yeah. If there's no dollar sign in front, I'm sorry. What do you mean I need to further integrate and differentiate and trigonometry? That language was not, no.
You're not finished.
To anything, but not close to me.
Yeah.
Anything to theory and
Those
ones I can manage.
You think the numbers with a dollar sign in front?
Yeah, if the numbers a dollar sign in front, my brain processes it faster. I know entrepreneurs can relate. I lost my trail of thought. What was I even saying? Oh yeah, so now I came to varsity and I didn't know what to study because I even forgot what they applied before. I honestly forgot. And my aunt, she's one of those, she's one of the, you know, in every family, there's those educated family members.
Yeah.
Not that the others are not. No, there are those that are really...
That are into making sure the
academia.
Young ones also...
They're into academia. Yeah, let me say, they are into academia. They
cool.
They appreciate and they understand this whole varsity stuff and the market.
Yeah.
And so I was lucky to have my aunt and my uncle. My uncle, my aunt was HR. So she kind of had a feel of which people were being hired, you know, she's a HR.
Yeah.
So I, my uncle also had a very good insight of how the industry was moving, the Namibian market was moving. So they asked me what I want to study. I said, I don't know anything related to business. She said, no, you don't do that.
Oh.
Entrepreneurship runs through you.
Wow.
You don't need to study that.
Ooh. Interesting.
You don't.
Yeah.
Study
does that make sense?
Yeah, it did make so much sense that
I went to bed that and I'm like, wow, I have really been living this entrepreneurship subject, ne? It, and it's
we
so,
can do a whole case study.
No, I can. I had so much weird experiences when it, and so much lessons, and so much. I did so many mistakes.
Yeah.
So many mistakes when it comes to entrepreneurship that I caught up to a lot of things. And she was like, if you manage to grow your business, because at that time, my whole family knew, at this point, I'm sending socks to the village.
Yeah.
At this point, my grandma, them and my grandma, they have socks for the whole year.
Yeah.
So every time my mom travels or I travel, I make sure they have socks for a whole year.
Yeah.
The kids, my fam, everyone. And at this point, by the time I was done with my grade 12, for as long as you know, Andreas, you know socks.
Yeah.
You just, I used to leave socks.
Yeah.
You just know.
Yeah.
So she was like, if you manage to do all that, without being taught or without studying it or without, doing it, let me also just take a pause there. Cause, I also consumed a lot of YouTube, of YouTube. Yeah. I watched, I would actually like to say that I consumed guys like Vusi Tembekwayo them. I consumed so much of Vusi's content. That time he was still very, very much active with his venture capital.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to do these master classes where entrepreneurs will just state their problem and he will just help break it down for them. So I had Tadetopi in person who had experience on the ground.
Yeah.
And I had guys on YouTube that I can tap to from all over the world that had similar, that were going through things that I'm also going through,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they are talking about diversification of products. They are talking about having your accountings in order. They are talking about business. They are talking about marketing strategies. They are talking about the difference between sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
They are talking about expansion. And I'm just consuming. I'm nowhere close to what they are doing.
Yeah.
My business is nowhere close.
Yeah.
But I'm just consuming these guys. Mm. And it's not like I was even advised or forced of. Yeah. Now that I think of it. Yes. It was just interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It just interested me.
Yeah.
This to see people talk about this thing called entrepreneurship like that. They're talking about business, talking about money, they're talking about growth, they're talking about scale, and they're living, they're talking about their lifestyles. And I'm like, I want that for myself and my family too.
Yeah.
You know? And I used to consume a lot of this content. So most of my reasoning when it comes to entrepreneurship are from this podcast. So I just wanted to say that because I don't want people listening and they think I was just born knowing some stuff. No, I used to consume a lot of YouTube. And I remember I supplied Spa. Which year was that? I supplied Spa 2021.
Yeah.
I was so very ambitious to just supply Spa with socks.
Yeah.
And this. And I met some people. I met these people, connected me to this person. And I went to Spa and I'm like, yeah, I have this idea. What? Spa said, you have a barcode. Oh, yeah, socks need a barcode. No, I'll be back. I got a barcode.
Okay,
I'm here. I wanted to. Okay, do you have the tag? No, initially, like, do you have the tag? Because I usually just sell socks without tags. I'm like, no, do you have the tag that, you know, the sock can be put onto and it can hang? Do you have that? Yes, on the street, they didn't ask me for tags now.
Yeah.
You guys are asking too much now, but okay, I'm coming. I did the tag. I come. It's like, no, there's no barcode here. And this thing is loose. I'm like, no. I went 3 months. 3 months, I came back again. I'm like, we trail run. Eventually, I met the requirements and the socks got up there, but I had to take another step back. Due to a lot of things that I didn't have in place personally, but also as a business, the vision was there, but resources and I wasn't there to be able to give the customer who's in Spa a good experience when they are buying my socks.
Yeah.
And Spa was very honest with me, and they gave me a whole checklist, which I eventually sorted out years later.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm saying that because. You get to go through things and I wanted to mention because the lady said, I'm going to send an invoice. Because she was like, okay, Andreas, we got this, and this, just send me, so just email me your invoice. And I was like, invoice? Because I didn't do accounting, I was a full science student.
Yeah.
Biology,
yeah.
Chemistry.
Ah,
Full science.
Yeah.
And she says invoice. And this is all new things to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how normal this sounds to an average science kid without any business background. Mm. Like, Taritopi didn't do this invoice and stuff, you know. He didn't talk to me about.
But he wasn't supplying at Spa.
You know, yeah, he wasn't here, yeah, exactly. So he is slightly, his business is slightly old.
Gassy.
Slightly, yeah, and yeah, I would like to say his business, you know, is slightly different. So now I'm getting these invoices. I'm like, no one told me about invoices. I go home, I googled invoice templates. I go through like 15 invoices, and I'm like, I think I can construct my own invoice now. I download Word on my phone, and I try to make an invoice, and I go to her, and she says, okay, you must put the signature here, so go back and edit it. I want to, okay, no, you missed out something, direct it to this office and this. Okay, I went back, and I'm just, it's like, there's no banking details on the invoice. How can we pay you, Andreas? I'm like, oh yeah, man, I must, okay.
Yeah.
I went and eventually, she was very, that manager was so patient with me.
Yeah.
She was very patient. So yeah. The reason why I quickly sidetracked, I just wanted to help the average viewer who's listening to this, that you don't always need to know everything, but, be very open to learning.
Mm.
Also try to listen to a lot of YouTube podcasts. There's a lot of great content out there to help get you up to speed with the subject of entrepreneurship. And I personally, people try to call me, you see, you are calling me a founder, a CEO, and all these things.
Yeah.
I personally just consider myself as someone who's trying.
Mm.
I based on, how I want to see my business or anything, or how I see an entrepreneur and so forth, I'm still running to get there.
Mm.
And I'm not saying this from a perspective of I want to make 10 million, I want to make a million, I want to make, to buy a car. Obviously those are business goals, but I'm talking about being an entrepreneur. You know, there's people that make money through business, but I'm talking about, I want to reach that level where Taritopi was when it comes to, he was an entrepreneur. He had the ethics. He had, his integrity was in check. He had a team. He had people over the country, all over Africa.
Mm.
He was doing business with. He had relationships.
Mm.
You know, for me, when I will only consider myself an entrepreneur really when I fully get one day woke up and I realize that okay guys, I'm here.
Yeah.
I think I have achieved. I have set up a system that can run without me for a whole year.
Mm.
I have given people opportunities, just like how Taritopi is giving so many people. He has given me and so many. I have given opportunities. I am touching lives. I'm exerting my energy into the economy and it's doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, when I think I will only consider myself really an entrepreneur when I one day sit and I just realize out of the blue while having some coffee that I set up something like that. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Trust me, does.
Yeah.
Trust me, does. Anyway, our studio line is open. I saw somebody was actually trying to call in, but I usually like to allow my guests. We need to exhaust the topic first before they actually come with their questions. But 083-288-401 is the number in studio. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. You're welcome to dial in and perhaps speak to Cassie Socks founder. Ask your question, contributions, 083-288-401 is the number in studio. You know, there's a particular aspect that I didn't ask you.
Mm-hmm.
How's the business doing now? Where are we now in terms of Cassie Socks?
Okay. I think this is where I start making the business look good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is where I start saying, what I've really been doing over the past few years. So I moved from 150 and to just selling a few pairs to in 2021, I eventually got, I wanted to touch lives. Tatitope inspired me again.
Yeah.
Most of my business goals, no, let me say, most of my fundamental business ethics. And when you're talking about fundamentals, we're not talking about we're talking about the foundation, ethics and principles and how I do business was laid by Tatitope. So most of the things I do, are compounded or end results of that foundation. So I wanted to touch lives. I wanted to be a good force in the community. So I started a project called the Buy One, Donate One project, where for every pair that would sell, because I noticed there are some people that slightly had more to spend. And I also realized that I go to this location, this person has more money to spend, and I came from a location where the mom wanted to buy 3 kids pairs, but she only had money for 2.
Okay.
I'll come from it's the reality on the ground. So eventually I realized, okay, let me try to create an initiative that facilitates from the guy who has more to give him a chance to give to someone who is in need of that same product. You get? So, and it's in a way that I personally am not giving free pairs. I'm facilitating that process.
Yeah.
You get? So when people say, oh no, you're just trying to get money. Oh, you're just trying. It's the core of that whole project is to help the guy who can buy 6 pairs, but doesn't need 6 pairs, but is willing to say, I don't know who's out there who needs a pair of socks, but I hope this pair finds you someday. And I just created that's all I did. And I wasn't the first to create it up. I'll be lying if I say it's something that was being done. And I didn't realize it was being done until I did it, and I eventually was growing, and I'm like, oh wow, Team Ekanjo does the same thing with his the leather thing, with giving the kids the leather shoes.
Okay.
That's a perfect example close to home. There's a lot of organizations and companies that do what I just explained right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the first I introduced in 2021, I went to the mayor of Walvis Bay. I said, so Walvis Bay is your home. I would want to run this initiative in your home. You're the man of the house. I just wanted to recognize you, and I say I want to do this in your home and hopefully get your support and wherever I go. Because that time my business was not registered, and you know, there was too many, and I didn't even know I needed to. People were asking me, how am I sure that you will donate? And they were asking me, yeah, I do have an angel. And I was getting so many questions, and I'm like, guys, I'm just trying to do the socks here, guys. Don't, you know,
you know?
And entrepreneurs will tell you they don't like too many of these. You know, you're asking me too many things. I just want to do the socks thing.
Yeah.
But eventually I realized those were important things. So I launched the project in 2021. In 2022, the project was going so, so slow that by 2022, after a year of launching the project, we only had 50 something pairs to donate. But I added up a few pairs just to make it 60, because I'd rather them being 60.
Yeah.
We went to the soup kitchen. I actually grew up eating soup at a soup kitchen if I come and my mom is not home, drop my bag. When I was in primary school now, I'll drop my bag home, and all my friends there in the same street, the friends that I told you would play at the ocean, we'll get them and we'll go and eat soup at Promised Land. We'll eat soup there so many times, and that soup kitchen was founded on the same principle that my project was founded.
I see.
There's someone who has more to give, and there's someone who is in need. Promised Land said, damn, if you can
afford 3 square meals a day, and you can maybe even afford more if you're willing to give how much, a certain kid who can't afford a meal will get a meal every afternoon. Would you like to do that for free? And these guys said, yeah, I'm willing to do that. And they gave Promised Land, and Promised Land eventually, we were now the end guys who couldn't get 3 square meals sometimes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we would be getting those free plates. So eventually I grew up and I'm like, okay, where should I donate this space? Cause should I just walk in the street? And eventually the conversation of biasness, maybe I'll give all the favorite parents, kids that I liked, or my, you know, so eventually I needed to go through a body that already identified people that I need. Because I, as a company or as an individual, I can't dictate who deserves a pair.
Yeah.
You know, so I go through organizations of people that already did. So I went to Promised Land, and the mattress that I was sleeping on when I graduated was given by Promised Land.
Imagine.
They would give you free shoes from people who have more to give. It's just the same thing. Okay? I wasn't inventing anything. So it goes out to all the entrepreneurs that sometimes we're all just trying to recreate the wheel, and sometimes just stop and look around in awareness and see what is being done. In most cases, you will get good examples from society. I didn't know that was what I was doing, but eventually when I was like, oh wow, I'm actually doing the same thing that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
We donated 60 pairs in 2022.
To Promised Land.
60 kids got free pairs. In 2023, in my first year, we did 480 pairs. That's 2023.
Hold on. Backtrack. Rewind. Okay. Start with the years, the numbers and everything again.
2021, I launched the project. So the project will go a year before we do now the donation.
Okay.
So in 2021, it went to 2022. That's a year. So the donation day came and we did 60 pairs. 2022, we donated 60 pairs.
Okay.
Because it's not that I only sold 60 pairs. No, it's only 60 people had more to give.
Only 50 people, only because 50, the 10 you added. Yeah.
No, I think it was 54, 53.
Ah.
And let me not say I know it's 54.
Okay.
Those are figures.
Yeah, yeah.
They are on record.
Yeah.
So it's 54 pairs. Yeah, uh-huh. It's 54 pairs. And 54 people in a span of a year that I spoke to said, I'm willing to spend slightly more.
Yeah.
So that slightly more goes to buying a free pair for someone who can't get a free pair.
Okay.
And I said, I won't give these free pairs to adults. I would give them to kids. And not kids just anywhere.
Yeah.
Kids in a soup kitchen. Because I grew up in a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
So we did 60. We did 54, but I just added more. I took some from the business. You know, cause the project always gets something. We always also take money from the business, cause logistics and all this. There's a lot that goes around now.
Yeah.
Now it's even more. So now 2022, we donated 60 pairs at Promised Land.
Yeah.
2023, the following year, we managed to get 480 pairs. In the box. Not that I only sold 480 pairs, but only 480 pairs. People said I have more to give.
Yeah.
And I eventually won a kid out there that doesn't have a pair of, I would be saying these things and they think it's a joke. And I don't like taking videos at these donations.
Yeah.
But kids don't have socks. Like I know it sounds simple and petty. You know what happened in our first donation? I had business cards, right? We had business cards, and kids love just things. And there were some business cards somewhere. I don't know, my younger cousin, cause he was assisting us. I don't know, he took out the business cards, and eventually one kid asked him, and the other kid, and all of a sudden, I just see every kid in the soup kitchen having business cards. And I was a bit angry, cause I need to give those to people that actually want to buy. Now you're giving them out to young kids. And some kids went with the business cards at home.
Oh.
And what happened was, unplanned for, some parents texted the number on the business card, which was mine. And the messages that I got
We're so encouraging.
I first got the first message, and I was like, I think it was a father, and I was like, thank you very much, for giving my kids a pay, for giving my daughter a pay, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't register it as much, and I switched my phone off, and I go socks, cause when I usually, so sometimes I choose to leave my phone, cause sometimes the guys can take it on the streets.
Yeah.
I come back, and I have more than 10 messages. We did 60 pairs. I had more than 10 messages from adults. Some were paragraphs. And I'm like, no. And they were just heartwarming. Yeah. And some people, and I don't know, people, the parents didn't know. They were just like very thankful. Yeah. Now I don't even want to be business cards at any donation.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to look like, I don't want that. No, I honestly don't want
I
that.
I hear you.
Yeah. So it happened by mistake, and
maybe it was necessary.
Maybe. Because I screenshotted some of the messages and I showed them to some of the people that I knew that were part of the 50. Actually, like, yeah, do this. I trust that you will donate. I don't know if you donate, but I sent them, and they were very supportive.
You see?
I didn't even go out and post these messages. No, nothing of that sort. I only showed them to my friend, my moms, and people that I was closely working with at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, and you'll go to these soup kitchens, and kids, it's so underrated, but only people that went in a school shoe without a sock for a whole day will know the pain of not having socks.
Mm-hmm.
That was me at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a school shoe on without socks, we call it chupless, where I come from. It was a meme at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just try chupless, you get?
Yeah.
So that's the whole project. So we did 60 pairs in 2022. We did 480 pairs in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember we went to go back, and we did 1,600 and something pairs. I have that number written somewhere. Last year, we did 1,600 and something PRs.
In 2024.
Okay. And for the first time ever, we donated at 3 soup kitchens.
Oh, man.
So we did at Promised Land.
Yeah, yeah.
We did at another soup kitchen, but on the other side of Valves.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, also did a soup kitchen in Swakopmund, DRC, and soup kitchen.
Yeah,
because I went to the mayor of Swakopmund again, as I knocked on the door and I said, this is your home. I'm trying to do this in your house.
Yeah.
Can you direct me to a soup kitchen, preferably in underdeveloped areas, and allow me to give pairs to kids that deserve pairs from people who actually wanted to give someone a pair who didn't have a pair.
Yeah, yeah.
They trusted me to give these pairs to someone who needs it. And I need you to help me find those people in your town. And we went to DRC last year, in soup kitchen. We had about more than 400 kids there having socks. So yeah. They get a warm bowl of soup, and they get a pair of socks as well.
How nice.
Yeah, so that's the project. We have achieved it, so that's good. That's one of the achievements. We also diversified how I used to just resell other people's socks. So now we do our own socks.
Mm.
Yeah, like we have, you know, we came from buying and reselling other brands to heat pressing some plain pairs.
Okay.
Now we actually have our own customized from the thread up socks.
Ah, how?
Remember, so always try to grow that the top is, instill that into me. He said, never ever do your business like that. For as long as you are an entrepreneur, you must always try to see the next step for your business.
Mm.
So I got a dream, not even a dream, because it's not a literal dream. It's I had this ambition of wearing my own name, my own brand.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to have this one thing that I would say, this is me.
Yeah.
This is Namibian.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm here. And when they say pull up your socks, I have my own socks to pull up. You know?
Literally.
Literally now. So if your socks are not up, you probably have the wrong socks.
Yeah,
get Kasi socks.
Yeah.
So eventually, one of our greatest milestones was us getting our own designs. And making our own designs, our own socks that allowed us to tell our own stories.
Yeah.
Not just wearing a pair because some guy decided that will be the design that the Namibians will wear. No.
Mm.
I went out and I searched and I asked people around, what designs do you think? My current customers at the time. And we came up with designs. We did our first design. After we did our first design, we again went back. What do you think? And till today, we continue to make designs that my customers continue to just suggest. Just like how they suggested the business cards, suggested the brand.
Yeah, it's, the tag.
I'm still
listening to customers. Let's put it like that.
And say, so we also, what we are currently also doing right now, we are launching our activewear collection soon next month,
yeah.
Next week.
Yeah.
So with that is that we realized that I was actually in the gym and I saw one guy wearing my socks. And I'm like, wow, he doesn't know, but it's fine. Wow.
Yeah.
And I'll go around seeing people wearing my socks because sometimes we work with a lot of, we have now slightly more partners. So we have resellers now around the country.
Yeah.
So you would have some socks resellers in the north, resellers in Swakop, resellers in. So sometimes someone will buy a pair and I won't even know. You know?
Yeah.
That they bought from us.
Because you're not the one that sold directly.
Yeah, exactly. That sold directly. So we'd have partners and people that we are working with like that. So we also then supplied a marathon once, but it wasn't active wear. So now we realize that most of our customers, again, are asking.
Mm.
We want socks to train with, to run with,
yeah.
And so forth. Because
yeah.
The ones that we are doing are mostly cotton, which was for casual wear.
Yeah.
So now they ask for active wear. So next month, all the customers that asked for socks to build their summer bodies. So when you're working out there, building your summer body.
And they say, pull up your socks.
Doing your yoga, running yeah. by the beach, running by the, going hiking,
mm-hmm.
any activities that you'll be engaging
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a pair of Kai socks to pull up and we'll be launching our active wear collection next week. And we have a limited number of pairs. Why? Because that Etopi said when you're trying out something new,
ooh.
Don't do too much. Just try it out.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So they're trying to also go there. We also heavily trying to get them into a lot of shops that are already selective wear. Currently, I have already been turned down by 3.
Yeah.
But we are still knocking
on
doors.
You don't give up.
We are knocking on doors. we are knocking on doors.
Yeah.
We are knocking on
you
doors.
You know, there's something I wanted to add about the project.
Yeah.
Corporate social responsibility. I mean, you really, the business is already playing its part in that particular aspect.
Definitely, definitely. And then, you know, this project, and whenever we go to donations, I don't donate. I just go around giving kids high fives and asking them what they want to be. And if I, sometimes now from Kasi Socks now from the business, sometimes we take a little stipend and we just buy some sweets or some, we print some cards that you are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe in yourself. And I'll just go around be giving out this. The people giving out the kids, the socks are my sister, my little sister and my little cousin, the one who wants to claim the name. I literally have my little cousins, the ones giving other kids socks. So it's kids empowering kids.
I hear you.
You know, kids, we are young, and we are young. We try to do what we can do, based on the resources that we are given. So you'll have, it's my little kids, my little sister, my little cousins, at these donations giving out pairs. Every time I go to the coast, they ask me, how many pairs are we donating so far? How many do you have in the donation box? Even now, 3 weeks ago, when I was in Valves, I met my little sister. She was like, where are we donating this time? Still the same place. And I'm like, I'm not sure. Like right now, the donation box, it doesn't have really much pace like last time. But, you know, people are not, I don't know, bad year, slow year for the business.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, no, but where though? Are we still going to Swakop? Cause she was excited that she got to travel to, Because we did like a whole series that we donated one soup kitchen. We drove from there. We went to that soup kitchen. The other one, I think we also had to buy, the mints and other things. So sometimes we overspend without, you know, because the soup kitchen doesn't have onions and, you know, sometimes these things happen.
Mm.
And we get some onions because soup has to be there.
Yeah.
That's why kid gets a warm bowl and a pair of socks. We go to the second soup kitchen. Do the donation. Then we went from the second one to the third one in DRC. So it was like, it was so fun for them that they were just traveling. So now they're like, I'm also doing Windhoek now, so I can come to Windhoek. Cause now I said, the donation, it's you guys. I just come to Yeah. So eventually in the future, I want my younger sister to just be the one handling that project.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, for me, that's what being a firstborn and a founder means. The fact that I can leave something and just jumpstart a process for my younger siblings so that they don't have to go through all that.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, so, those are some of our wins. We have donated over 3 soup kitchens last year. It was very, very great. I think last year was one of our best year when it comes to the donation. We have now a wide range of casual designs. We are about to launch our activewear collection. We have collab, or we also do customized socks. Mm-hmm. If you have your own company, your own marathon that you're hosting, your own anything that we can do customized branding from the thread to the tag
We need to get into the aspect of this is proudly Namibian.
It is. Proudly Namibian, guys. That's all I can say. It's proudly Namibian. It goes back to how do you not overburden your customer.
Mm.
Yeah, we do now the shirts. We do different designs so that my customer today, he can't be wearing the same pair at the office. People might ask him, why are you wearing the same pair every day?
Yeah.
So now the customer wants 3, 4, 5 designs. So now we diversified the designs. Now we're also now the customer might want to go to the gym after work.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're also catering for that time. So that is some of the reasons on how. So maybe the customer wants their own customized socks for their company.
Mm-hmm.
We can also do that for the customer.
Mm. Can you believe that we have come to the conclusion of our episode?
Yeah, I know that. Thank you very much. I mean, it's been great. I can talk about socks for the whole day. Trust me.
I can see. Definitely.
Unless there are some people who have some questions.
Yeah.
Then I think
there was a caller, but they didn't call back. But nonetheless, it is well.
Okay.
Yeah, but your few words to the people, business people, entrepreneurs.
I'm still a wannabe entrepreneur, guys.
But
I will share what I've learned or what I've experienced so far on my pursuit to becoming a better entrepreneur. I would say if you haven't started yet, just start. If you haven't started yet, just start. If you haven't really finalized that idea yet, don't worry.
Mm.
Just start.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, that's the best thing that I ever did when it comes. I went through so much trouble,
mm-hmm.
but I found the solutions along the way. There was even a time I lost everything my stock got lost.
Nice.
And I only had like 1,000 left. I remember I only had 1,000 left and everything was gone. But then through the grace of God and through consistency and through perseverance and through, you know, just doing everything with integrity, you will always just find a way along. Just don't try to get the perfect idea. Mm. No, just start. And the one other thing I'll say, let me say at least 3. One other thing that I'll say is your integrity. Being an entrepreneur, you get to meet a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
in places, some in higher places, some in lower, some in rooms that you will never enter.
Mm.
You know, you get to meet from a lot of different backgrounds, Namibians, South Africans, Tamaras, you don't know where this person, you get to meet a lot of people, and irregardless, stay true to your integrity, because there will be times when they want you to do things that are not integral. There will be times when they want you to just
stay true to your integrity. Yeah. Don't put a price on it.
Mm.
Don't put a price on your integrity because it will come. They will come. That's all I can say. That Etopi told me about it. A lot of people through my YouTube that I mean, they say it and I've experienced it as well. Your integrity will be tested for as you are an entrepreneur. So it also helps that you are a believer as well. So yeah. For me, it helps a lot. Just the fact that I'm a believer.
Yeah.
The last one I would rather say is just have fun, man. Just have fun.
Uh-huh.
Have fun doing what you are doing. If you don't have fun doing what you are doing, you might not talk about it for 2 hours plus.
I hear you.
Just have fun. Have fun doing what you are doing. Oh yeah, I think I'll mention and collaborate a lot. Yeah, collab. I think I didn't do justice on the collaboration.
On the partnership.
Part.
Like, I actually wanted to, but
you need to collaborate. If you don't collaborate at least with 5 people or entities or any, just collaborate as much as you can. Like, work with whoever you can. Okay, be careful on your integrity now. Not just with whoever now, but collaborate as much as possible, with people that align with the same values as you do. Just like I collaborate with soup kitchens and so forth. Collaborate with people, and stay true to integrity. If you haven't started yet, just start. I think that would be my core lessons that I would have told myself if I had to do all these things over again.
Okay, cool. I hear you. And with that, we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analyst. My goodness, I do On the Radar midweek. So now look at me talking about On the Radar. Conclusion of Life Lessons. Make sure that you tune in again next Saturday, same time, same place, Eagle FM frequency, right here from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. And if you've really enjoyed this conversation, you want to listen to it again, please head over to our podcast session as of Monday. And yeah, but you should have downloaded the Eagle FM app. Yeah. So that you can actually listen to it again. With that being said, from Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful evening. And
if there's anyone out there who would like to collaborate, please, you can find my email. You can just type Kasi Socks, KASI, Kasi Socks, SOCKS @gmail.com. Kasi Socks @gmail.com. If you don't find it, just type Kasi Socks on Google. My number will come up, or the email will come up. And please just reach out if you would like to collaborate, if you would like to work with me, if you would like to ask anything, anything, you can reach out to us then. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andreas. Okay. Good night, y'all.
Yes.